Good morning. Can everybody hear me? TCAS. Good. I wanted to do this, but then I lost my nerve. Good morning, Wait, no, that's wrong. Wrong movie. All right. Good morning, TCAS. I have got some good news and some bad news. So back when Keith was floating around the idea of taking a couple of weeks off to kind of recharge, he put out some dates and asked for volunteers, and Roger Patterson volunteered to be here today. Y'all know Roger, very neat man, very wonderful story. That's the good news. The bad news is that he couldn't be here today, so y'all are stuck with me. So, sorry. But it could be worse because Meredith and the kids have to hear me all the time. So, you know, it's always worse. So, all right. Let me pray real quick, and then I'll try to make this quick because it's either my nerves or it's really, really hot out here. I'm not sure which. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this family that comes together. And just like all families, sometimes we fight, sometimes we celebrate, sometimes we cry, sometimes we agree not to talk about things like football. Sometimes we struggle. But Lord, we are a family. We come together, we are together, we enjoy this time. Lord, I pray you just bless this time, bless me, calm the nerves. Lord, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. All right, hold on 1 second. Let me get this hat back on before I melt. What was that? I couldn't hear you. Did you say it's too late? Oh. No, I'm not that sweet. It is that hot, though. All right, so I brought up a Bible today. This is not my normal Bible, so if y'all can see it, it's awfully colorful. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And we bought this Bible for Cora when she was very young, I think probably back when she was 1 year old. And we love reading to her from this book. And it's become such a staple in our house. I actually had to take this off of the dinner table. We usually keep it at the dinner table, and every night after dinner, the kids are just jumping up and down. Cora in the past has actually been upset, like if we're out to eat or at a friend's house or something, that we can't have the Bible tonight. Like she's wanted to take it to the restaurant or whatever. It's just a really neat book because it's very much based on the Bible, but it's written for children. And there's a lot of the Bible that seems really difficult to understand, mostly because of the stresses of our life and the reality of growing up and becoming an adult and the things that you have to deal with day in and day out. And this Bible just cuts through all that, and it reminds us to have a childlike faith. So I mentioned that because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So we have this book, and this is one of Cora's favorite stories. When she was a kid, she would ask for it. She would start flipping through the Bible and say, "I want the piggy food book, the piggy food story." So any guesses what that one's going to be about? Keith knows. All right, so the name of this story is Running Away, the story of the lost son from Luke 15. So it goes like this. Jesus told this story about a boy who ran away. Once upon a time, there was a boy and his dad. Now, one day, the boy gets to thinking, maybe if I didn't have my dad around telling me what is good for me all the time, I'd be happier. He's spoiling my fun, he thinks. Does my dad really want me to be happy? Does my dad really love me? The son never thought of that before, but suddenly he doesn't know anymore. So the son goes to his father and says, "Dad, I'm better off without you. I can look after myself. Just give me my share of your money." I'm sure y'all are imagining the response I would have, but his father is sad, but he won't force his boy to stay. So he gives the son what he wants. The son takes the money and goes on a long, long journey to a far-off country. And everything's wonderful and perfect for a while. He can go wherever he wants. He can do whatever he wants, be whoever he wants. He is the boss. He is free. And they actually even put an exclamation point there. Free! Sometimes he gets a strange, hungry, homesick feeling inside his heart. But then he just eats more or drinks more or buys more clothes or goes to more parties until it goes away. Okay, so curious, there's the piggy food pitcher that we look for. But soon, his money runs out, and so do his friends. He ends up getting the only job he can find, feeding pigs, which, to call back to last week with Jesse, if y'all remember, pigs, Hebrew in Hebrew times, not friends. That was not a good job. That is not the job you would want to have. Let's see here, feeding pigs. One day, so he is so hungry and so desperate, he even tries some of the piggy food. "What am I doing?" he says suddenly, as if he has woken from a nightmare. He spits all of it out of his mouth. "My father is rich, and here I am in a pigsty eating piggy food." He wipes his mouth and dusts himself off. "I'm going home." As he starts for home, though, he begins to worry. "Dad won't love me anymore. I've been too bad. He won't want me for his son anymore." So he practices his "I'm sorry" speech. All this time, what he doesn't know is that day after day, his dad has been standing on his porch, straining his eyes, looking into the distance, waiting for his son to come home. He just can't stop loving him. He longs for the sound of his boy's voice. He can't be happy until he gets him back. The son is still a long way off, but his dad sees him coming. What will the dad do? Fold his arms and frown? Shout, "That'll teach you, and just you wait, young man"? No, that's not how this story goes. The dad leaps off the porch, races down the hill, through the gap in the hedge, up the road. Before his son can even begin his "I'm sorry" speech, his dad runs to him, throws his arms around him, and can't stop kissing him. "Let's have a party," his dad shouts. "My boy's home. He ran away. I lost him, but now I have him back." Jesus told them, God is like the dad who couldn't stop loving his boy, and people are like the son who said, "Does my dad really want me to be happy?" Jesus told people this story to show them, hey, little man, to show them what God is like and to show people what they are like. So they could know, however far they ran, however well they hid, however lost they were, it wouldn't matter, because God's children could never run too far or be too lost for God to find them. So, I don't be offended that I read a children's story to you. It is not because, other than those two, that there are children out here. It's that we are supposed to have a childlike heart. And I've never, I mean, you know, if you've been around church for more than 3 minutes, you've heard that statement, childlike faith, childlike heart. And it wasn't until I had children that I started to understand, Cora more so, Kellen, I don't know, maybe he just never trusted me, maybe it's the second child thing. But Cora, especially when she was real little, like on a changing pad, getting a diaper changed, she would just walk off that dresser, I mean, just blindly, like she's got wings or something. She just knew that we would catch her. She, whether we were paying attention or not, she knew we were going to catch her. And knock on wood, we always did. That's the faith that God wants us to have in him. We just know that he's going to catch us. There's no maybe. There's no, you know, if I hold my tongue just right, if I pray just right, if I do whatever just right. We just know. So this is a story about a father who has unconditional love. And that's another thing that I struggle with, the concept of this father who loves us. I mean, you know, honestly, in this world, in this day and age, nobody knows what unconditional love is. I mean, you know, some of us have, if you have children, you probably have at least a glimpse of it. Because, I mean, there's nothing my kids can do that would make me love them more. And there's probably nothing they could do that would make me love them less. But outside of that, you know, everything that we say we love usually has a condition. I mean, is the girl pretty enough? Is he rich enough? Is somebody tall enough? Does the job pay enough? You know, like, if I'm going to love it, I mean, I love that Jeep, but man, I hate the gas mileage of it. Like, there's always a condition, but that's not what, it's not what we're made for. It's not what God built us for. And so that's where we have to keep that childlike faith that, you know, as we get older and more and more, we start to listen to those whispers. We start to listen to those doubts that, does God really love me? So we're members of a community pool right just close to the house. And Cora is trying to learn to jump off the diving board. And she'll jump off, like, land feet first. You know, that doesn't bother. But trying to dive, she's going to belly flop. She's afraid she's going to belly flop. She really struggled yesterday, even really struggled trusting me that if she would just dive just so, it wouldn't happen. Somehow, now that she's 7 years old versus when she was 2 years old, my words have a little less, you know, trustworthiness. There's just a little less to my words that makes her want to believe me. Now, if I'm sitting on the side of the pool and she's right there next to me, then she will. But somehow that distance from me on the side of the pool and her on the diving board, it's just a little too much. And that's just what we do. There's just a little too much distance, and so we start to doubt, and we start to just let those whispers come in. So that's the point of this story, though, is keep that childlike faith. Just trust that no matter how far you've gone, no matter how well you've hidden, that there's a God, that there's a Father who's waiting for you to come around the corner. He's just, like, anxious for you to come around the corner, and he's going to jump off the porch and run to you. That's where we are today. Everybody listens to that trust, that whisper. We listen to the whisper, and we start losing faith in that trust. So each of us runs away from time to time. I mean, that's part of life. We each do. But we have a Father who is waiting for us. And you could say, does God really love me? Yes, he does. That's right. But I even have this really, I should have been prepared. Sorry, y'all, wait with me 1 second. So to close, ask the question, hear the question, and close your eyes for a second and just think about this. Listen to what I'm about to, my phone just locked up, of course. Listen to this text. This is from Acts 2, it's verses 14 through 24. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give your ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and I will show wonders in heavens above, the signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, which, side note, Isaiah 53:10 says that God was pleased to crush him. the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. We have a God who loves us so much that he was pleased to crush his son on our behalf, for us, for you. I struggle with that. I have always assumed that Jesus, that his sacrifice was for Keith, and Jesus stand there holding the door, letting Keith in, and I just kind of slip in behind him. I struggle with the thought that God crushed Jesus for me, not just because of me, not just, I lucked out, but because he loves me, that's what he did. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we love. That's the Son that we rightfully honor. So, yes, does God really love me? Yes, he does. Lord, I pray you bless this day. I pray, Father, that hard hearts would be broken, that if somebody needed to hear this, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. Lord, I pray you bless the rest of this time, bless these provisions, bless each and every person out here, and each and every person who hears this. Lord, I thank you, and Lord, thank you for loving us. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.